Welcome to the HSP podcast. I'm Julie Bieland, and I'm a psychotherapist specializing in high sensitivity. And I'm really excited to bring you a series of guest hosts on the podcast. I've chosen these hosts because they have something that I believe will really support you, and each one of them has their own type of specialty. So I think that there will be a lot of value in listening to these episodes. And we invite you to explore more episodes and more resources for the highly sensitive person at sensitiveconnection.com. Hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's event. I'm Andrea Weber, the coordinator of the business group here within the Sensitive Empowerment Community. And joining me today is our special guest, Sarah McCrum. Sarah is an author, educator, and business innovator. She's the founder of Liberate Humanity, which is a place for learning and sharing skills to liberate the human spirit. Sarah has spent more than 20 years educating, teaching, and coaching business owners and families. And she's the creator of the very innovative program, Thank You Money, based on the principles of her book, Love Money, Money Loves You, which is the book I've just finished reading. And Sarah has helped so many people along the way, and over 10,000 people have completed courses with Sarah, building a relationship with money based around love, abundance, generosity, and nature. So welcome, Sarah. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Now, Sarah, you have such a unique perspective on the energy of money and also on developing a relationship with money. So how did you come to write about money in this way and share these important messages with everyone?
I came about it by being in an extremely difficult situation financially. It was definitely not what I intended to write about. But I had a business failure and I just had nothing. I couldn't afford my rent at the time, literally. So it was a very, very difficult time. And I was given this tiny book, which was called How to Become a Money Magnet. And it had questions at the end of the chapters. And one of the questions said, what would money like to say to you? So I was journaling and I started writing, and it was like money started talking to me through my pen, literally. It just started kind of pouring out these words, which were not my words. And they were so beautiful and so surprising and refreshing and gave me a different picture of what money is than anything I'd ever come across. And I wrote a couple of pages like that, that very first time. It was total surprise. And then I tried again and I tried again. And every single time I sat down and said, money, what would you like to say to me? It told me a whole lot more. And so I ended up with more than 60 messages from money, which are all the chapters of my book. The book Love Money, Money Loves You is just literally precisely the raw message that I received from money through that few months back in 2011 now.
Oh, look, Sarah, thank you so much for sharing that. And I think you certainly have a wealth of experience to share with everyone. And I think another important message there is that look at all the wonderful things that can be accomplished when we listen to that intuitive guidance. So we can achieve really wonderful things when we do that. So I think that's important in there as well. And leading up to this event, Sarah, we started a five-day challenge in the community, and we put up an affirmation, I am choosing to have more. And I thought that was a really great place to start because it really comes down to how we think and feel about having more and receiving more. Because I think two things that became very obvious at the start of the book to me was that if we're uncomfortable receiving money and that doesn't really feel natural to us, then we do make it difficult for money to come to us. And you also say in the book too that there really is no virtue in not wanting to have more, because if we have more money, we're able to do so much more, and therefore we're able to give so much more.
Yes, exactly. And that's generally, especially amongst more sensitive people and more purpose-centered people, and they often go together. That's generally a real problem, because we have learned largely from religion and spirituality that money makes you evil or corrupt or is kind of dangerous and difficult, and virtue and being a good person and purpose and doing good to the world is better kept separate from money, which makes it impossible. It makes you sabotage yourself all the time, because you can't possibly have a bigger impact if you don't engage with money. But what I find is people literally, it's like a split inside themselves that they're not even necessarily aware of. And when the money begins to come closer, people will do almost anything to push it away without realizing it, which is such a pity, because if you understand that money is a very beautiful energy and it's generous and it comes from love, which is the core of the message that I received, then there's no reason why you shouldn't receive it in abundance and do something really good with it.
Oh, look, I think that's such a beautiful message, Sarah. And when I first started reading the book, I know I had never thought of money in that way. I'd never thought of money as something to love or a beautiful energy. I probably spent a lot of time loving it if I had a lot more of it. like a lot more people probably out there as well can relate to that. But seeing it as a beautiful energy, I thought was just such a special message. And I don't think a lot of us do view money in that way. So that's a huge change for us, I think. And I think this is such an important message for highly sensitive people, because we really do want to reach out. We want to help as many people as we can. And our businesses will really reflect this. And I think it all too often we find ourselves really worn out, quite exhausted. We become easily disheartened, and we start to question what we're doing when we're not in that flow, and we're working so hard on things, but things don't seem to be flowing. And when I read your messages from money, and it said, it's our job to enjoy and to create, I thought, well, an immediate response to that would be, well, if I didn't have all of these money problems circling around, I'd be able to enjoy things a lot more, and I'd also be able to create a lot more as well. So I guess that would be an initial response and reaction to that. So how do we start to turn this around and see things differently?
Well, we have to actually listen to that message that you read. It says all the way through the book that enjoyment is really important. And people will always say, like you, well, how can I enjoy if I don't have enough money? It also says it's important to relax. And you say, well, how can I relax if I'm worried about money? And whilst those are reasonable questions, the thing is that actually worrying about money doesn't make money ever. It does the opposite, in fact. And being unhappy or not enjoying whatever you're doing also doesn't make money. It makes you closed and tense and stressed. And when you're closed, you actually reduce the energy that you receive. So highly sensitive people often have lots of problems with their energy, because usually when they're young, they've been shut down in so many ways, or they've shut themselves down in order to survive, to handle the challenge of being highly sensitive in a not very sensitive world. And so they're already working on greatly reduced energy supply. If you then get tense and stressed or serious or any of those things, you close down even more. And so you receive even less energy. And then when you have less energy, you actually can receive less money as well. And you can create less, you become less productive. You feel tired, because you're trying to do things with not enough energy to do it. What we tend to do then is we tense up even more, we get more stressed and more worried, we close down even more, and then we get more tired, and then it's even harder. So we actually have to reverse that cycle. When you realize that being relaxed opens you up, first of all, it feels better than being worried or stressed, just simply feels better when you give yourself permission to feel better. And then you enjoy rather than being serious or again being worried or all the other things that people do. Enjoyment is more open, it's more relaxed, and so you actually receive more energy. And when you receive more energy, it starts to make your energy systems work better. So there's such a win in shifting this around. And when you're relaxed and enjoying, you're naturally more creative. And funnily enough, that creative drive, if you like, stimulates desire. It stimulates you to want things. It's like, oh, I want to do this, and I want to create that, and I want to sell this, and I want these people, I want to work with these people. That is the kind of energy that money, the energy of money, really responds to. And what we tend to do is say, oh, well, I want this, but I can't afford it. Oh, and I'd love to do that, but I'll never be able to do that because I don't have enough energy. And oh, it would be great for my business to do this, but I don't think that I have what it takes. So the message that we give to money then is, yes, I'd love that thing, but I can't have it. And it has to respond to, it has to respond to your energy. So it actually holds you in this awful place of wanting a whole lot more and not being able to ever get it. But when you can live in the energy of, I'd love to do this, and I really want to do that, and I'd love to work with these people, and just cut out the, but I can't afford it. Just know that even if you can't afford it now, that doesn't mean you're not going to be able to do it. You might need to wait a little while. And then you live in this flow of loving to do things, and there's a flow of creativity there. And that's what kind of moves our life forward. It creates momentum. And look, I'm talking about this. I have to say, it's not easy to do this in a world where people often will try to pull you down and say, you can't do that. And that's ingrained in us from childhood. So when I talk about it, it often feels like, oh yeah, of course, that's really obvious. And it's really obvious to me. And at the same time, I have had to learn, and I'm still having to learn, a great deal about how to really respect my own creativity and my own desire for life, for a better life. But if you can really understand that it is natural to want more than you have, it is natural to want to do things you've never done before. That's what makes life work. So there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with not being able to afford it yet. Just, you don't need to say it, because that's what enables money to come into your system.
Oh, look, Sarah, what you say is so true. And I enjoyed reading, the entire book. And I really did laugh. Since we've mentioned worry, I really, really had a good laugh when I read how you described money and worry. Sorry, you described worry as expensive behavior. And when I read that, I just laughed because I thought about some of my own thoughts and reactions to things along those lines of what you've just said there. You know, well, I'd love this, but then in come all the buts and all these sorts of things. And worry really does restrict and contract our thinking. It puts us in that limited mindset. And we know that money comes to those who are happy to receive it. And if we're full of worry, well, then we're not probably really happy about things, are we? And so
not really happy to receive anything usually, no. Just like, oh, and then people do receive and then they worry about that. It's like, oh, now I'm going to have too much work to do. And then they cut it all off again. That's a very common response when the money does begin to flow.
Well, that leads on to one of my other questions for you, Sarah, as well, because I found it quite intriguing. The book does talk about blockages to money coming in, and worry is a big one. And one of the things that you mention is common, very much so, for small business owners, is that when we put out a request, whether that's a request for more clients, more appointments, more bookings, more sales, whatever it is we're asking for, and we do start to receive that coming in, as you said, sometimes unintentionally, we can slow that process down completely, or we can cut off from that altogether. And we really do prevent all those connections that are waiting there for us, don't we?
Absolutely. And I mean, I've done that many times myself. I get scared of having more work. I always got scared around time. I won't have enough time. I won't be able to deal with it. And I meet lots of people who have that. And so I would kind of just close down just before something would come towards me because I was protecting myself. And I think that goes also with being highly sensitive, that it's actually, you know, it is challenging because we tend to work too hard and we work with our minds rather than with our energy and our consciousness. So we use a limited tool rather than a much more abundant tool. to do the job. And it's hard. That's really hard and it's exhausting. So for me, what I've had to do is really, really learn how to work with energy, how to work with consciousness, how to get results, not by working so hard, but by asking for what I want. And learning, you know, if for example, I start to make more money and then I don't have enough time, rather than retreating, saying, okay, what do I want now? Well, I want more time, or I want somebody to help me, or so we're led by this kind of string of desires, rather than I want this and then I retreat, and then I want that and then I retreat. So I want this. Ah, okay, now I need to adjust it. I've got that. That's great. But now I want this as well. It's like, oh, and now I want this as well. And now I want this as well. That's the kind of energy, that sort of natural, relaxed, expansive energy that it seems like the money energy is able to respond to much better, funnily enough. So when it feels like, oh, well, you've got that, you should be satisfied. You know, you've had enough. That's completely not the thinking that works. It's what a lot of us grew up with. But what actually works is I'd like this and this and this. And when it feels too much, well, yeah, and I'd like more freedom, or I'd like more time, or I'd like more holidays, or whatever it is. And then something happens. You begin to be able to solve all the problems and find the solutions. And again, I will say this takes practice, and that practice usually comes by messing it up.
So I've messed it up plenty of times, Sarah, and I'm sure many of us have. I know that just going through and reading all the wonderful information there with the book, that it's definitely something, as you said, to practice. And I think that you do become very consciously aware of things the more that you practice, and the more you're willing to really look at things and how you're responding. And one of the fundamental, I guess, key pieces in that, Sarah, was that if we really do want our financial situation to change, it really is our relationship with money and our cooperation with money that has to change. And this is quite a new concept, particularly the cooperation part of it. I know I'd never thought of, well, what is my cooperation with money? And the things that you mentioned there are to do with setting up these optimal conditions for delivery, so it makes it easier for money to come in. So how can we create the very best opportunities for receiving more money? And what exactly are these optimal conditions for delivery?
It's kind of easier if you think of it like you're going to order something from an online store. And so you go and have a look and you figure out what you want. But can you imagine if you actually never tell the store what it is that you want? So you want to buy a new video light, for example. But you don't tell them that. You just think it in your mind, like, oh, I'd really like a video light, but I'm not sure if I can afford it right now, or I don't know exactly which one I want. And people do this a lot. I don't really know what I want, but I just know that I think that I want something like that. That's really difficult for the energy of money to respond to, because there's no clarity. Whereas if you say, I want a video light, I want this one, precisely this model, this price, you actually select it very, very clearly. Then the shop, the online shop, knows which one to send you. So we need to be very clear what we want. Okay, you don't have to write it down necessarily, but you need to be really clear. And I actually ask for things quite often. I imagine the energy of money being like a friend, and I say, hey, please send me this, deliver me this. This is what I'm looking for. And then there are certain conditions you need to meet. For example, if you're buying in a shop, let's say you're buying a t-shirt and they've got all different colors. If you say, I want a t-shirt, so I've chosen this one, but you don't select the color or you don't select the number that you want to buy, they still can't respond to you. So that's further clarity. Sometimes you'll say, people will say to me, like, I want more clients. Yeah, okay. So when, like, you know, I could send you another client in a couple of years' time if I was money, and I would have fulfilled on that agreement. I'd listen to you. Well, maybe I'd have to send you two because you said more clients. So again, we need to have the confidence to be clear what we're looking for. Now, that's tricky because sometimes what you think you're looking for isn't actually really good for you or is going to mess up a whole lot of other things you've asked for. So one of the things I've learned is always to say, for example, if I was doing a launch, for example, and let's say I wanted to sell 100 programs in that launch, but I would always say, or something better. When I make that request, I always say, or something better. That frees your energy to go looking for better things. It frees life and money to deliver something better than what you can imagine. And that's really, really important. So that's a little tip. Always say, or something better when you're asking for something or manifesting something. And then we have to think about the delivery part. So if you imagine that you've ordered something from an online store, and you've paid, so you've done all the bit that you need to do, and they've packaged it all up and put it in the post and sent it to you, but you don't have a post box, or your post box is blocked, or you're not at home and you're just not there. And so even though they leave it, you don't find it, or they leave one of those little cards for you and you don't go to the post office to get some whatever the card is for, you're still not going to get your thing. And this is what we do a lot. So maybe we'll say, oh, I really want this. Do you get really clear what it is that you want to manifest or what you want to ask for? But then you either close your door. So you then sit there and worry. It's like, oh, this is never going to happen. Oh, I really want this. Where is it? Oh, things like that never happened to me. Door closed, post box closed, human being not at home. The person who's at home is just a kind of mental circuit, nothing else. So if you want to have your door open, like I spoke about before, you need to be relaxed and enjoying, happy to open the door, happy to receive. When somebody comes along and offers you something, you don't say, oh, no, thank you. No, I don't need that. I'm fine. Thank you. You actually say, yes, thank you very much. When someone pays you a compliment, you're able to say thank you and smile rather than push it away. So we need to have our door and our post box open in order to be able to receive. So there's clarity in requesting, and then there's openness, relaxation, and enjoyment in the receiving. That creates much, much better conditions for the energy of money to work well. And then if you add in the other piece I mentioned before, rather than, well, I only deserve a little bit, so I'll only just ask for what I deserve. It's like, I'd like this and this and that. And maybe I can't work out how to do that. For sure, money can. It's much more powerful than we are. So that and. But there's one thing I just warn you of that doesn't work. If you're running a small business and you say, oh, I like the $10 million mansion on the beach and the man of my dreams and the... If you start to go into fantasy stuff and it feels disconnected from where you are, there's no energy in that. So I find most people need to learn by building little steps. It's not that you couldn't have that at some time in the future. It might be 10 years away or who knows. But generally speaking, you need to feel very connected with what you want. It needs to come from your soul and your heart, not from some heady thing like, oh, you know, successful people live in houses like that. That's not a good energy for money. It sincerity, genuineness, and a kind of real honesty to yourself, I find is really important. And honesty to your own values as well. So it makes you get to know yourself better.
Oh, look, that is such wonderful advice, Sarah. And I think the thing is, as you mentioned, it's about relaxing and having some fun with this. And I think that if we try doing this in small steps along the way, rather than asking for something huge right from the beginning, we can actually see that this works. And yeah. And I guess that we can take our time with building things and observing our own behavior. I think if we take those small steps, it helps us observe how we're responding to things, and we become more consciously aware of that, because we're not trying to do 100 things at once. Yeah. Or have 100 things at once. We're taking those small steps each at a time, aren't we? And we're learning from there.
There is something worth just dropping in there, Andrea. If you want something huge, there are some people who genuinely want something huge. The way that I've seen that tends to work better for them, well, there's a couple of things to know. One is if you have it on a vision board, for example, or you've done some kind of goal exercise or vision exercise at some time. I know quite a few people who've stuck their vision in a drawer or just left it on their wall somewhere. And 10, 15, 20 years later, this huge thing that they probably never really thought they were going to get does actually start to happen. I've met lots of people recently in that position, and it can really take time. And the honest truth is that for most of us, most of the time, getting to that huge thing comes through lots and lots and lots of small wishes being fulfilled. And so it's not really one huge thing. It's thousands and thousands of steps that have been taken along the way, which were lots of small things that you wanted. Just this next step in your business, the next client, the next product, the next partner, whatever it is, those are the small steps that lead to the big thing. And so again, you can have the big thing, but you still need to pay attention to all the small steps to get there.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, Sarah, too. And it's making me think of all the little day-to-day things, which obviously you're well aware of running your own businesses. There's so many day-to-day tasks and activities and overwhelming things that we find ourselves immersed in the day-to-day. And we often do find ourselves, we question and I guess worry comes in there again. We question, are we doing the right things? Are we working effectively? Are we reaching the right people? Are we finding the right clients? Are we using the right systems? So all of those things we're trying to do, I guess, ourselves as business owners. And all the things you've been speaking about have to do with the energy of money. So if we're doing all of those things and we're working really hard on putting all of those things in place ourselves, and if we're still experiencing a lack of money at the same time, it's not necessarily that we are doing all of those things in the wrong way. It simply may be that we're lacking access to that wonderful energy of money, isn't it? And I think there's a big difference there.
Yes. I mean, this is a lesson that I learn over and over again, honestly. Like all of you, it's so easy to get busy and just do all those little things. And the honest truth is that probably most of them don't even need to be done. I look at myself sometimes. I look at my team and I think, really, is this really making any key difference? And I'm not sure that it is. So the thing that I'd like to share here, the most powerful thing that I've found, is what we could call the power of making a decision. And that's really getting very, very clear about something. I remember after that, when I wrote my book, where I had no money at all, and then shortly after that, well, actually a couple of years after that, I moved to Australia and had very little money to start off with. But I knew, I made a decision that I would never again not be able to pay my rent. And that was a decision that was crystal clear. And even though we were living right on the edge to begin with, and it was literally me and my book, that's how we got it together. I followed the instructions in my book and I asked for money because I couldn't see where it was going to come from. That's how I paid my rent quite often. But I paid my rent because I'd made the decision. Recently, I was involved in raising some investment for a business. And it was really clear to me that it's a decision that I make that brings in the results. When I make that decision, and this was an interesting one because I'm working with somebody else and he knows a lot more about investment than I do. He has had a lot more experience in raising investments. So it was easy for me to think, oh, really, he's the main person. I'm the support person here. And whenever I did that, we didn't really get good results. And every time I said, I am 100% responsible for raising this investment, knowing that I wasn't going to do all of it, but I am 100% responsible and I'm 100%, this is the most important thing that we're doing now. And then things start to work. And my partner would get results. On the day that I make a clear decision, my partner gets better results. So the power of making absolutely clear decisions about what's important. And this is not decisions about, oh, my social media, oh, my blog, oh, my this, oh, my that. It's a decision, for example, that my business needs more money because it is sick financially. And if we don't have enough money, that's like trying to run a business when I'm sick. That's really difficult. I make the absolute decision to pay attention to the health, the financial health of my business until it's so healthy that it's running on automatic and I can pay attention to something else. Because what we tend to do is run half sick businesses for years and pay attention to everything which keeps it half sick, rather than saying this is so important that I'm going to work on this more than anything else. So make really clear decisions about the important things, the number one priority thing, and everything else will follow that. I think that's one of the things that we've not been well taught, and I've basically had to learn by being all over the place, by doing everything and being exhausted and not getting the results that I wanted. And in the end, something kind of flips a switch in me. It's like, okay, what do I need to do? Money, what do I need to do? I've got to change this. And then it starts to change.
Oh, look, it's so true, Sarah. And I think so many of us are probably feeling that way at the moment. And as you said, it's like trying to do things when our own health is not 100%, and we're only working on things halfway, and you know, that overwhelm and that exhaustion sets in. And I guess seeing it from that point of view of that clarity and just being clear on making a decision. And I think sometimes that's right at the very beginning. That's where a lot of us are stuck on, because we have an idea in mind, and things evolve perhaps a bit differently than how we would see them, and then our minds and everything are kind of all over the shop, and we get distracted, and all that self-doubt comes in, and we don't follow through on things, and then, as you said, we get so caught up in all the day-to-day stuff that needs to be done, and we forget about all those wonderful connections that are there, just with the energy of our passion, our desires, and also of money as well.
And of course, the incredible gift of being sensitive, which means that you can access information that other people can't. You can access guidance that other people don't. You have so much available to you that makes this journey easier, but it's really difficult to do that when you're exhausted, working too hard, and there's no room. You know, little bits will squeeze their way in and you'll say, oh my gosh, I had some intuition. But what about being full on open to being part of a massive team that has got something to do on this planet? And you have your human team and you have your non-human team, and you're part of something bigger. That's the different way of working. And that's what highly sensitive people have the potential for so easily that other people find much more difficult.
Well, one thing, Sarah, I think as HSPs, we all would appreciate, and I think you've just led into that beautifully, is talking about what you call the VBA. And I think we'd all really resonate and appreciate you explaining this to us. So can you tell us what the VBA is and what the connection is between the VBA and what is showing up in our actual bank accounts?
Yes. So the VBA is, you can translate that as either virtual bank account, or there's another word that begins with V. What is it?
Vibrational bank account.
Thank you. Yeah. Virtual or vibrational bank account. This is kind of a way of explaining how the energy of money works. It's described as the new currency in my book. I started asking money questions about the new currency, and the virtual bank account or the vibrational bank account is the new currency. In a way, we can call it a manifestation currency. So fundamentally, if you think of yourself as having energetic bank accounts, maybe, and it's a fairly crude description, but it's very helpful. When you are supplying sweet energy to the universe, that might mean that you're happy and enjoying and relaxed, like I said. It might mean that you're doing something that you love. It might mean that you're benefiting other people and being kind and generous. These are all things that supply sweet energy to the universe. And what happens is that your vibrational bank account increases, or the balance in your vibrational bank account increases. When you are doing things or behaving in a way that's supplying unpleasant energy to the universe, and you know that because you don't feel good. So when you don't feel good, when you're grumpy, when you're in a bad mood, tired, when you're gossiping about people, when you're feeling really depressed, like, it's not that there's something wrong with any of those things. I don't want to make them wrong. We experience all of these things. But the simple fact of the money is that you can imagine another vibrational bank account that is just steadily going into debit there. Just because you're not putting that energy, this is all about energy. It's kind of like you're sucking energy out of the universe trying to survive rather than supplying. And so you don't get paid, so to speak, for taking. You get paid for giving. That's a very normal thing in our world. It is interesting. I think you can have credit in one account and debit in the other account, just like with a human bank account. They don't necessarily cancel each other out unless you put them into the same account. The very obvious thing is that if you go too far into debt, it becomes unsustainable. So if your vibrational bank account goes too far, you go beyond being very emotional or very negative, you start to become sick. And eventually, if you go further and further, you will actually reach the point where you can't sustain life on this planet, which that's what we call death. It's not the only way of dying, but that is something that can happen. I don't see that there's a limit to how much credit you can build up on the positive side. Now, the interesting thing is that if you think of this as a manifestation fund, if you like, your credit is what you draw down on when you want something that you don't pay for. If you pay for something, you just use the cash you have in your bank account. That's fine. I give you something, you give me something, that's finished. But sometimes you say to money, please, you know, bring me a new client. And lo and behold, a new client arrives that day that uses some of the credit. Sometimes we really struggle to get those new clients, or we really struggle to get the new relationship or whatever it is you want to manifest. And then it's a good time to ask yourself, I wonder what the balance is in my vibrational bank account. When we're struggling, we tend to add to the debit. You'll see this is another way of explaining what I was talking about earlier. So your debt starts to grow, and your credit doesn't increase because you're thinking all the time, oh, my life is so hard. I don't know how to do this. This is difficult. And you feel negative. And so, you get really stuck there. So if you want to get better at manifesting, the recipe is the same. It's supply sweet energy to the universe. Sometimes there's not a lot you can do, but you can smile. You can be kind. You can do good things for people. You can be generous with what you have, not with what you don't have. You can give. There are all kinds of things you can do, and you can genuinely just enjoy your life. Appreciate. Appreciation is amazing. Just appreciate whatever you can appreciate, because that supplies that energy and starts to build the credit. You might not be able to manifest something huge to begin with because you don't have much credit, but you can manifest something. Use a bit of credit and that makes you happy and you smile and build a little more credit, manifest something else. And then you start to get better at it. You start to give more, you start to be more generous, you start to feel more positive, and then you build more credit. And when you need very big things, you need very big credit. That's really, really simple. And the reason why some people appear to have very lucky lives, I suspect, is because somehow they've built up a whole lot of credit somewhere, maybe in a past life or whatever. I don't know too much, but we begin to be able to understand why we have a different quality of life from somebody else based on this understanding of the vibrational bank account. So if you need extra money, more than you've got at the moment, usually it's because you want to buy something or you want to do something. When you ask for that thing that you want and you get money, you suddenly have five clients turn up and they enable you to buy it. Thank your vibrational bank account and keep topping it up. Just keep adding into that. And at least learn how to manage your overwhelm, your negativity, all of that. And there's just one thing I want to put in here. This is really, really important. I work with somebody, I've done a lot of work around being highly sensitive. And we talk about false positive or forced positive and forced negative and neutral or natural positive and negative. So there's a neutral positive and negative, which is just the circulation of energy. For example, I might express doubt about something in my business, which is a legitimate doubt. It's like, I don't think that's going to work. That's a neutral negative. It's like, there's something you haven't thought about yet, Sarah. There's something you need to pay attention to. Whereas this is never going to work. People like me never get results like that. That's completely impossible. I feel so depressed about it. That's a false or forced negative, just as is, I'm feeling pumped today and I'm going to get amazing results and I've had an amazing day and da 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 da. That's false or forced negative, positive, which is what people use to sell a lot. They use false positive energy and they manipulate people's energy, and it's unethical. It's unethical for anyone to do that. It is very harmful for sensitive people to do that. Mm-hmm. So just find that neutral positive, neutral negative. That's fine. But that manipulative energy, that will all build your debit rather than your credit.
Well, I know, Sarah, as soon as we finish here today, I am going to be off. I'm going to be working on that credit as soon as we finish here today.
You are right now already, Andrea. You're serving a whole community here. It's
so wonderful. And I'm sure we've all learned so much from everything that you've mentioned here today, Sarah. You have very kindly answered all of my questions now. So I'll go to our chat and I'll just start read out some of the questions that our members might have for you. I should see some questions here coming up in a moment.
I'll open the chat as well. What about asking for things in a certain time frame? Okay, yes, Julie. That's an interesting question. You can do that. And there are times when it's necessary and really important. I find that for people who are not very confident about asking for things, putting a time frame can put a lot of pressure on them. And then if they don't make the time frame, then they feel disappointed and that's difficult. So if you don't need to, that's fine. And that can be a really good thing, actually, just to give yourself a little bit of freedom to explore how this energy works. If you need the time frame, then be very, very clear what the time is. And if you reach that time frame and you haven't made it, one of the things that I found is really important is don't give up there, but like keep going. You might need to adjust something. Sometimes when we're approaching a deadline, for example, and we might not be successful in whatever it is we need for that. We have to think about what's plan B. We must do that. But I find it's really important to go beyond that deadline, stay on. A lot of people just slump their energy when they hit a deadline and they fail. And usually there's another way that you can work it so you can still get a result. So stay with the result. If it's a very difficult timeline that you have, radical trust, just like almost blind trust, might be your only ally. I've had to do that many times. I just go into, I have no idea how to do this. I've done everything that I know to do. All I'm going to do is trust, not worry. Trust, not worry. Trust, not worry. And I've literally been stuck. I've been stuck in the middle of the night on a station in the middle of Europe. My credit card failed, train about to move. And I had to go into radical trust. My credit card worked once out of three or four times, got the ticket, got onto the train. The next day it didn't work again. So radical trust can work very quickly. That was a moment where my husband and I, we looked at each other. We started to smile, just like smile, trust. Within 5 minutes, it works. So sometimes we need those things. Sometimes you've got a bit more time. The trust stops you from worrying. It stops you from closing down. It keeps you with this kind of open position that makes it easier for money to come in. So that's what I recommend around timeframes. Cecilia, yes, there is a relationship between karma and the vibrational bank accounts. Most people, in my experience, misunderstand what karma is. So I don't really want to get into that too much, but just suffice to say that for me, karma is actually a very beautiful system that enables us to reorientate ourselves. And actually, if you know how to clear karma really well, it's a way to liberate your soul. And it's a pathway to overcome self-sabotage, especially in people who want to do good for the world. They often struggle with karma. They sabotage themselves, or other people sabotage them a lot. And when they clear it, it creates this freedom to be themselves and to fulfill whatever that mission is. that they feel very drawn to. So it's important work for those kinds of people. Kristen, what are the tools or practices that can help to work on this new money mindset? Honestly, I would say the first thing is actually my book. I don't say that so much to sell books as to say that it's really difficult to work on this kind of money mindset if you don't have any idea what money really is, because you'll be trying to change your mindset from the same mindset. You know, you're using your mindset to change your mindset. That's really difficult. But when you read the book, it does something to you. It softens you and it makes you look at things differently. So it changes your mindset for you, because it's coming from this very beautiful, expansive mindset. And that's a much more effective way to do it. So I never recommend trying to change your mindset with your mind, because it's not the right tool. Practices that I recommend, I definitely recommend some daily kind of relaxation. That's what I teach people all the time, because if you can't relax, then it's really difficult to get this. And one of the things that I see most commonly is that people start to say after a few weeks, oh, I feel completely relaxed about my situation, even though I'm not making more money yet, or even though I'm in a very difficult position financially, I feel relaxed about it. I'm not worried about it anymore. Once you reach that, you have the possibility to start to be able to make better decisions and do something about it. But if you're tense and worried, that's really difficult. So relaxation is key. Taking time with getting clear what you want and asking for what you want. I think too many of us are unclear or even afraid. We've been disappointed in the past, and in the end, we just give up. That's what I experienced. I don't want to say what I want. I'm not. People would say, what do you want? And I would freeze and I would say, I don't know. And even in business for a long, long time, I would freeze so hard and so instantly when people would ask me, like, what's your goal? What's your financial goal this year? That I refused to engage in those conversations. I needed a lot of healing from that. So engage in finding out what you do want that you can stand behind. And it doesn't have to be money. It can be absolutely anything. And learn from that. Learn how to ask for and receive what you want in life. Learn how the genie in the bottle actually works, the wish fulfillment system. Because once you have that in place, it doesn't matter if there's a massive recession or a world disaster or a huge opportunity in front of you. You have the inner technology, the inner wiring to be able to respond. And to me, that's what's important in a very volatile time where you really can't know where your business might be in a year or two's time, because things might come along that we didn't expect. But where if you know that you can ask for and receive what you want, and if today it's food and tomorrow it's a client and the next day it's something for your community and another time it's a huge opportunity, it doesn't matter what it is because the rules are the same for all of them. All of that comes from your vibrational bank account, actually. So if you learn how to work with that, you're learning a skill that will take you through any circumstance in your life, because money comes and goes. It's an energy, and sometimes our energy doesn't suit it so well, and it's a harder time. Sometimes it's an easier time. But life works, and if you can work with it, then you're strong. So that's what I would recommend, lots of practice. Tips for managing when your partner is a worrier. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Well, one of the things I've discovered is that it only takes one person to change the entire dynamic. And that person is not going to be your partner, it's going to be you. You can't control the other person. But if there's something that you want, and you want so much that you're willing to make that decision, to use the power of making a decision, I'm having this. I don't care whether my partner's worried or not. I don't care whether my partner is closing the channels to energy and blocking all of this. Just me, I'm enough. You are enough. And that's what it takes. And the interesting thing is when you do that, you stop at a subtle level blaming your partner, building your debit. Okay, blame is definitely a debit. behavior. So you take out that layer of blame and criticism and, you know, all that chunter that goes on beneath the surface. Take that out. You take 100% responsibility. You create an environment around you where other people start to step into responsibility as well. And you may find that your partner starts to change as well, which is great. Okay, thank you, Kristin. Anything else?
Do we have any final questions here in the chat? Yes.
Oh, yeah. How do you express what you want? Visualization, affirmations? I talk about making a beautiful request, which is different from an ordinary request. And a beautiful request lights you up. And how do I know that somebody's lit up? Because their face lights up. They smile. Like Andrea at the moment, her face is lit up. So if somebody tells me, I really, really want to get this, I don't know, I really, really want 5 clients every month, and I want a stable income of $5,000 a month or whatever it is, and their face is like dull, and they're feeling stressed and pressurized about it, I know that the only way they're going to get that is by hard work. But if somebody says to me, I've got this amazing workshop coming up next week, and I would love it to be full, and their face lights up and you can feel the delight in them, I can be pretty sure that that's going to happen. And they don't need to do very much for it to happen. So the art of making a good request is finding what lights you up from the inside, from your soul. It's really your soul requests that are expressed through your heart. They're the things you feel that you would love to experience, not the things you feel that you ought to want, or that somebody else has told you is the right thing. So no one else can ever tell you what you should want in your business. It's got to come from you. And that is all it takes. So when I'm working with people and they'll come along and they say, oh, Sarah, I really want this thing. Somebody said to me recently, oh, I really want to get my residence in Portugal. And she was so worried, and she'd been trying to do it for 2 years, and the lawyers were being complicated, and her time was about to run out, and all of that. And it's like, I look at that and there's no way she's going to get it. So I start to chat with her and joke with her and just, you know, just get her relaxed. And what I'm looking for is the moment when she tells me what she wants and her face lights up. And at a certain point, actually, I think it was her partner really lit up. She was kind of like, oh, I don't have any help, it's too difficult, da 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 da. And I said, you have some help, look at your partner. Her partner was like lit up like a Christmas tree, and she took one look at her and it's like, oh, and everything changed from that moment. 2 weeks later she had her visa. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing. Oh, you're the warrior. You know, that's brilliant. Yeah. Look, let's just look at worry for a moment, because it's so prevalent. Just think, in fact, let's just do something together for a moment. Just feel what it's like to worry about money. And imagine that somebody is trying generously to give you something when you're really worried. Just feel the energy of worry and how it shuts all your doors, it closes your heart down, you hardly look outside, you're stuck inside your own world. And now step into an energy where the same things are going on. Money's tight, the business isn't going really well, worried about your kids, whatever it is, all of that's happening, but you decide to be relaxed anyway, just because you can. And you open up, you soften, somebody's got something really nice for you. Can you feel how easy it is to welcome that in, to say yes, to say thank you, to even notice that it's there? A lot of people don't notice the money that is right in front of them because they're so worried and so busy looking somewhere else. It's amazing to see what we do as human beings. 100% responsibility, Robin, yes. Releasing blame and criticism, yeah, absolutely. Yes, Cecilia, absolutely. Yeah, so Fiona, what you've said there, I can do that. That is the key. In what I think less than a minute, I said, okay, feel worry, and now feel relaxed. You said, I can do that. That's actually how easy it is. Has anything changed in your circumstances? No. All the things you were worrying about are still there. But because I say relax, you can relax. So that's the point. And when you relax, it feels better and things happen better. And if they don't happen better, you're still feeling better and they will happen better. So whichever way you look at it, relaxed and enjoying is better than tense and worried and miserable. Whether things are going well or badly, it's better. And the choice is as simple as that. You can worry or you can relax now.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for answering all of our questions today. We're coming to the conclusion here of our time this morning. And I just wanted to ask if people want to reach out to you and find out more about all of the wonderful work that you are doing, where is the best place that people can connect with you and reach out to you in that way? And I also believe that you have a special offer for everyone as well.
Yes, so the best place to reach me and my work and teaching and things is liberatehumanity.com. And the offer we have, that first message from money, I actually have a really beautiful version of it, which is a video with music created, composed by a wonderful musician called Gary Malkin. It's a beautiful video of that original message from money. You can find it on lovemoneyebook.com. And if you like that first message, you can sign up there. You can watch the video straight away, and then you can sign up there and get the first four chapters of the book free as a PDF so that you can start to learn about this. And the fourth chapter is called A New Blueprint for Making Money. So it's actually the underlying blueprint of everything that I've been talking about. So that's lovemoneyebook.com.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. I would really encourage everybody to do that. Because I know receiving this book and you also kindly shared with me that the music compilation that you're talking about there as well. And I found that it was just so relaxing and it really does set the scene for everything that you're talking about. And I know that this is one of those books for me that I will treasure always. So I really encourage people to explore that further. Sarah, it has been an absolute pleasure talking with you here today. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you also to our members and our listeners. And we will see everybody next time. Thank you so much, Sarah. It's been a real honour and a real pleasure to be with you here today.
Thank you so much, Andrea. Thank you, all of you. It's been a pleasure to talk about it as well.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone. We will see you next time. Bye, Sarah. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.